This podcast, Czech German Perspectives, is brought to you by the Czech German Young Professionals Program. To find out more and to get access to other episodes, please visit the website cgypp.eu. What makes democracies sustainable? I believe there are many elements that feed into this topic, and several of them are being discussed by my CGYPP colleagues in their individual podcasts. Now, in my podcast, I would like to focus on one of these elements, namely lobbying and its different forms. First, let me give you a brief background so that you know who you're listening to. My name is Jana Šigutová, and by profession, I'm a public affairs consultant. The shorthand for this role is a lobbyist. I have been doing this job for over 6 years now, and I'm still exposed to the fact that people often have no idea that my profession even exists. Or when they do, they think we are corrupt and dark individuals. And I think this is for the most part a misconception. So I would like to use this platform to spread the word a little and encourage our listeners to realize that lobbying is not profoundly just an egocentric activity done by middle-aged men in suits whose only interest is their own profit. So, to come back to the original question, I believe that to make our democracy sustainable, people need to have access to it. And lobbying is one of the ways this can be done. In order to move from theory to practice, I invited a guest, who's also my friend, Jakub Lelek from IKEA, and together we are discussing all of the issues I've mentioned in more depth. Hello, Jakub, how are you?
Hello.
Welcome to our CGYPP podcast.
Thank you for the invite.
And
pleasure.
Maybe could you start by telling me what you actually do, what your job is?
I work as public affairs leader for the region of Czech Republic, Hungary and Slovakia at IKEA, which is, as probably most of the listeners know, a retailer, furniture retailer. And my role is to cover public affairs within the company in this specific region.
What does IKEA has to do with public affairs? Like, it's a retailer, as you've already mentioned. So I wouldn't connect these two things, like lobbying or public affairs and chairs and tables.
It's actually a very good question. And there was no answer to this question until maybe 4 years ago, when the position was actually established for the region. There was a pilot project a couple of years prior even to that, when IKEA was trying to investigate what it actually means to have public affairs people. There were only a few of them in the whole world. And nowadays we have approximately 45 to 50 colleagues all around the world doing public affairs. And what it actually means, it very much depends on the country, on the issues, but in general, it's about advocacy. We have a lot of topics that we cover, that we try to bring to the light and also to do some changes or try to also navigate in the unknown in many ways for the company, but also even for the society in some areas that we feel are important for us as co-workers, but also for our customers.
So that was actually my next question. Like, how do you come to the specific topics or areas that you focus on? Is it a decision from the top, from your management, or is this something like more, you know, flexible from more streams?
It's definitely more flexible. And I must say, I've been to IKEA for 2 years, which in IKEA terms is nothing. It's like a newborn baby, simply because many, many people actually stay in IKEA 10, 20, 30 plus years. It's a very Scandinavian way of doing things and making decisions. So often if we identify a subject, a topic that we feel is important, we are actually able to bring it to the management as an important topic quite easily. And if it makes sense to them, which it usually does, then they decide that we can actually invest more time, more resources into the topic, and maybe do a big campaign, maybe do a big advocacy approach within that specific subject.
Mm-hmm. So I'm very well of the most recent project that you have. That's the project surrounding domestic violence, if I'm not mistaken. What was the genesis of this? Because I understand that IKEA is about home, so there is this bridge to home safety, let's say, and security. But can you tell us more about this?
So it started in our region. It's not only about the Czech Republic, Hungary, and Slovakia. There are also initiatives in Great Britain, in Australia, in Spain, in other countries. But I will speak specifically about our region. And it all started approximately three and a half years ago by actually asking ourselves, what can we do and in what subject? You mentioned that we value home. Definitely, that's the core of our business, home and home furnishing solutions. But also, we definitely believe that every home should be a safe place for everyone. And that was the core idea from which we actually took it a bit further and tried to investigate what is the actual situation about domestic violence and domestic abuse. And the public affairs part is, I would say, only one-fifth of the overall scope of the project. So we started with the research because in our region there were no up-to-date data that we could use as a background information for a further assessment of the subject. So we did with Kantar, agency focused on public opinions, and also with the Charles University in Prague, research that showed that this is a big topic. It's affecting 30% plus people, depends on how you see it, if it's only physical or also psychological or even economical violence. And based on this data, we actually said to ourselves, okay, let's set some goals that we want to achieve. We managed to actually do some changes already. I would really like to stress that we are not experts. IKEA is not expert on the topic of domestic violence. So what was crucial for the whole project, not only PA part, but the whole project, was to actually find reliable and resourceful partners, which we were extremely successful because we managed to find in all three countries a local NGO. In Czech Republic, it's actually consisting of three NGOs, under the umbrella of NENA, mm-hmm. NENA Asili, for those who speak Czech, which means no to violence. And it consists of Akorus, Rosa and Profem, three organizations with approximately 90 years together of experience fighting domestic violence. In Slovakia, it's Fenestra, and in Hungary, it's NANE, which is coincidence with NENA. Anyway, those ladies are the experts. They know what to do, they know how to deal with the topic, and we were giving them the voice, the resources, the knowledge of certain things, especially in PA area, like what subjects should work for certain politicians or what topics are maybe not the best to stress in certain country. And thanks to that, we managed to actually change a small, I would call it law, but it's not entirely precise, but a small law that actually says that victims of domestic abuse are part of a specially vulnerable mm-hmm. victims group. And it helps in the process with speaking to court, to police, etc. So that was the big first win. The second win is signing free memorandums in the Czech Republic with local regions. So those regions will be more dealing with the topic and helping the victims. And the third biggest goal, very ambitious, I must say, is trying to change the national legislation. So trying to firstly, or for the first time, define what actually domestic abuse is, because it hasn't been defined until now. So those three things I would consider a success, yet the law or even the memoranda, it's still not over. We are still hoping to finalize law and maybe get more regions to join.
No, I'm going to be the devil's advocate, okay? Don't be offended. But one thing that comes to my mind when I see big international and global companies investing into these soft topics is that it's sort of similar to greenwashing. Like, we will connect our brand to these soft values and use it for PR. Is that what you're doing?
No.
Good.
Very simple answer to this question is no. Honestly, I don't think that many people right now know that IKEA is trying to do this. And the reason is that we didn't want to make it a very cheap form of PR. We are not trying to sell more pieces of furniture just based on this initiative. Yes, at the end of the day, we would like to say, you know, we were part of the discussions, but we'll never say it's our project only. It's the NGOs, it's the governmental institutions that are involved and actually wrote the piece of legislation. We haven't written a single dot, single letter. So I think it's easy to do it as a PR, but we are trying to see it from the bigger perspective so nobody can say, you know, they're doing it just to look good.
My next question was whether you think that IKEA's or your personal activities help to develop democracy and help to develop the value-based society. But I think you have just answered.
I think every advocacy, not only for IKEA, but every advocacy that you do, which doesn't have to be really in a company, it doesn't have to be in a public institution, it can be your private initiative by, I don't know, signing a petition or anything, really helps democracy from the very core of the word democracy, right? Coming from, I guess, Greek, right? The voice of people or the representation of people. And every involvement of any individual is valuable. You don't have to agree with that, but nurturing the discussion is, I think, key to moving forward in topics that are not easy. It doesn't have to be domestic violence. It can be, you mentioned greenwashing, so it can be sustainability. Not everyone has the same opinion about certain aspects of sustainability. Shall we go into EV or shall we go into hydrogen, etc., etc. But discussing it and agreeing at least on the core of the issue that we need to do something to help not really the planet, but help ourselves as a society and help things that might happen and prevent them. That's, I think, the core to discuss it and to have people around the table and have every group represented. That's, I think, what's the key.
Now tell me, do you mind when people label you as a lobbyist, or do you label yourself as a lobbyist?
I think there is a very strong negative connotation when it comes to the word lobbyist. And I must admit, I personally thought when I was younger that lobbying is something wrong. Because in the 90s, there were a lot of TV series in our TVs. And when there was a lobbyist person, it wasn't really the best. And of course, in the 90s, Czech politics were or was pretty difficult. And lobbying was really labeled as something dark and not so nice. Yet, I think this shifted a lot. Even the word advocacy helps a lot to really help people understand what is the core of it. And I honestly don't mind at all. I think lobbying is or should be essential part of the big democracy discussion that I was talking about a few seconds or even minutes ago. But it's about how you do it. You can do it in the right way or in the wrong way. You can, if I take it to the extreme, lobby on behalf of a company that's polluting water, air, whatever, and you don't want that topic to be discussed, or you don't want to people know about this, or you want the politicians to forget about it, or you can lobby on the more nice topics, things that you really believe can help something. Of course, there is always a business background because you need to, when you want to make a sustainable business, you need the business to flourish, to grow, and the more it grows, the more you can give back to the society. But doing it on ethical grounds, which is key. And I'm happy to work for a company like IKEA because those basics, those grounds are very strong, very firm. And I'm very happy for it. Honestly, I think that many, many more companies are going in this direction. And it's very difficult to do unethical lobbying nowadays. And it should get even more difficult later on, which is good for the position, for the occupation, and again for the society in general.
Do you have some specific guidelines in IKEA, like something you would like to point out, how you do your do's and don'ts of advocacy?
Yeah, we have code of conduct. That's important for every single employee in the company, especially those who are external facing. My role is probably the most external facing role in the whole company. So I should actually do a refresh of my code of conduct. I think there is a few days left in my internal system with a big red mark next to it. But that's the basic. But of course, then you have many more things like company DNA, company testament. We have testament written by our founder, Ingvar Kamprad. And there you can actually see what the company is about. When you follow these rules and when you are on the same on the same level with the company, then it's much easier to do the job. And we're not allowed to accept any gifts. So everything that I accept or I receive, I'm supposed to give back to Tombola, to the raffle. So I've never actually in IKEA gotten any presents so far.
Is there any other campaign that you're about to work on, or is there anything else IKEA is about to start?
I will now speak very quickly about a campaign that my colleagues in Great Britain did, and they were advocating on behalf of people without homes. So they did a lot of outreach, even public outreach when it comes to the store. So they had one of the rooms set as a homeless shelter. Mm-hmm. So they showed people, our customers really, what it might be to live in such shelter. So that was a beautiful campaign, and it's still ongoing. And there's a lot of advocacy with local, but also national politics, politicians, sorry, and politics in general. But in the Czech Republic, we have been quite strong in the topic of refugees. Simply because we experienced a big number of people coming from Ukraine after the Russian aggression took place in the Czech Republic, in Slovakia, but also in Hungary. So not only direct support when it comes to furnishing shelters, but also trying to help people coming from not only Ukraine, but also other countries, which is slightly more difficult in our region. But helping them to be more accepted and to have better living standards and living conditions.
Do you like your job?
I love it. Yeah. I must say I love it. And the good thing about IKEA is that I have an experience in those 2 short years for our IKEA co-workers. But in these 2 years, nothing was, you know, difficult when it comes to the topics. The advocacy is a different part. That's my job to you know, do it the best way possible. But there was nothing, let's say, thank you for smoking kind of thing, you know, advocating something that I'm not personally okay with, which is the worst case, but not even like I'm advocating on something that I don't really believe in. So far, every project was something that I would do in my free time if I could for free. And yet, you know, I'm still getting remuneration for it.
It's a dream job, isn't it?
So far it is, and I believe it's going to be like this until my time at IKEA, but which could be those 30 years eventually. But no, it's really cool. It's really nice. I'm very happy for it. It's a good company, good values, and the best part is co-workers. So you can really rely on your colleagues because they believe in the same cause as you do.
I think that's a very nice ending to our podcast. Thank you, Jakub, very much for being here with me and answering my questions.
Thank you very much for the invitation. Loved it.
Thank you.